Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. We're going to move to the story of one nurse who allegedly, and I can only say allegedly, killed a number of babies. I'll tell you a little bit later on what I believe to be that number. But much of what I'm going to be telling you today was also written in a book called Deadly Medicine, and I want to give them credit for this book. Kelly Moore and Dan Reed, the chilling true story of a pediatric nurse who murdered scores of her infant patients, and Death Shift by Peter Elkind. Those two books carried a lot of the information that you can no longer find anymore. And you can probably order it from Amazon, but it's hard to find the information I'm going to be sharing with you today. Now, these are what they wrote about the story. What I'm going to be telling you is what I know about the story because I was there. The reason I'm telling you about my experience is not because my experience is any more valuable than yours, but mine was a horrendous experience that taught me never to be quiet in the face of injustice. Because I was quiet. I became quiet too long. And I do feel that I have blood on my hands for what happened during that time. I was a nurse, a registered nurse. I graduated from the University of Kansas. Had moved to Kelly Air Force Base, to be around Kelly Air Force Base, to join the Air Force Reserve. While I was there, I got a job at Bexar County Hospital. That's spelled B-E-X-A-R, Bexar County Hospital, which was attached to the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio. The hospital and the medical school, for the state medical school, were combined. In other words, the patients that were in the hospital were mostly state and county patients that were used by the residents, the nurses, sort of to train on, to work with, to learn on, whatever. My job was patient care systems analyst. My job was to go around every day alternating in various units to find out if the government standards for Medicare, Medicaid were being met. In other words, let's say Medicare says that they will have documentation every day on their chart from a physician. Then I would check every day to make sure that a physician was documenting on that chart. That was pretty simple kind of thing, but that's just to give you an example of what I did. So I did not wear a uniform. I wore street dress. I went around to all the units, they knew me there, and I checked out the charts every day. I would review the charts for standard of care and for government regulations. There was at one point a person who went on vacation that was in our department of patient care systems and I was asked to go to the pediatric intensive care unit and review those records, which I normally did not. PDICU was not one of my areas normally. However, I did go there, and I was reviewing the records, and I saw and had heard in the past a number of rumors that there were babies dying on the 3 to 11 shift. The babies were dying on the 3 to 11 shift. Well, let me just say this. At the time, we didn't really pin it down to the 3 to 11 shift. Babies were dying in the PD intensive care unit. So, of course, we were all concerned as the etiology of that. Why? The causation. Why are these babies dying? And there had been all kinds of investigations. Was it the water? Was it the this? Was it the air? Was it the whatever? Little did I know that they had pretty much already determined how this was happening. But we're talking about one of the biggest murders, one of the most unbelievable murders that has ever taken place on a number of babies. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is really twofold. Number one, to let you know that this kind of thing happens that is covered up in the medical communities. And number two, to inspire you to never, ever stand down if you know something that is going wrong. If you know there is an injustice, speak out, regardless, because you don't want to live the rest of your life knowing I could have done more. You do not want to live with that, I guarantee you, because I know what that feels like. When I was patient care systems analyst, I would go into the PDICU to look at the records and document what was taking place from the standpoint of medical care. I had heard the rumors from the nurses there that babies were dying, that should not have been dying. The PDICU, San Antonio's PDICU, had about 6 patient rooms there, baby rooms. Now, these were really sick babies. These were babies that had been discharged from the hospital after birth, but for some reason had to come back to the hospital. So there were 6 rooms, a couple of nurses' station, a report room, a bathroom, and a storage area in that, the PDICU. That was what consisted of the PDICU. And as I reviewed the records, I started to see one thing, and that is, and this was my own detective mind doing this, I looked at when the murders were occurring. They were all occurring on one shift, the 3 to 11 shift. Now, babies don't always die on a 3 to 11 shift. There's something wrong here. It should be equally spread out among all the 3 shifts of nursing, 7 to 3, 3 to 11, and 11 to 7, but it wasn't. Top heavy on the 3 to 11 shift. Then I began to look at who was taking care of those babies. And it happened to be one of the unit's finest nurses, Janine Jones. At least that's what people like Pat Belko, who was the head of the unit there, would say. Janine Jones, who was an LVN at the time, and always has been, at least she lost her license, but she was a licensed vocational nurse in the state of Texas. They thought she was the best nurse. Even Jim Robotham, Dr. Robotham, who was the director of the PDIC unit, physician director, said he fostered medical talent whenever he found it, and he truly thought Janine Jones was the outstanding bedside nurse in the unit. But by 1981, we had all learned that it seemed like Janine was increasingly in the center of problems and controversy in that unit. The first case that we could ever link back to Janine Jones was Christopher Hogeda, H-O-G-E-D-A. He was 10 months old. He'd spent more than half of his life in the medical center's PICU, so 5 months in the PICU, suffering from a complex list of congenital heart defects. In the beginning, in May of 1981, Christopher developed hepatitis, infections in his lung. They tried to keep him alive long enough to be able to have surgery done on him. But on May 21st, shortly before 7 p.m. in the evening, Christopher slipped into cardiac arrest. Janine Jones was assigned to him on the evening shift, and she was the first one to arrive to do CPR. Dr. Larry Hugis was covering pediatrics that night. He took over the code when he arrived. He assessed the child, injected 2 rounds of cardiac drugs, then used a defibrillator, but the baby didn't respond. Janine Jones began to suggest medications to the doctor as an LVN. The doctor ignored her. She repeated herself. Her voice got angry, and Hugis said, "Shut up," to Janine Jones. He snapped at her. He was trying to concentrate on what he was doing because he had a dying baby on his hands. Then Janine started saying, "You need to give certain drugs. You need to give certain drugs." He refused to acknowledge her existence. Janine started to hyperventilate. She collapsed into a full asthmatic attack. And they said, "Get her out of here," because they were struggling to save this little boy. Medics took her out of the room. They tried one last round of drugs, and at 7:32 p.m., they stepped back and they declared Christopher dead. Now, 4 years later, the investigator on this case said that is, we believe, the first of the murders that Janine Jones committed. Now, the reason that Janine Jones was yelling, "Give this drug, give this drug, give this drug," is she knew what she had given that child to create the code. Now, this is what we found out later, is that Janine knew why the codes occurred she knew the antidote drugs. And she passed out in an asthmatic attack because she knew the doctor was not going to give the drugs to save the baby, and she knew the baby was going to die. We'll talk more about motive in this. But Janine did things in that unit that should not have been allowed for a nurse, an LVN, to do. She got more and more attention. More and more people were paying her homage. What an incredible nurse, even though she was having more and more bizarre behavior. An example of some of the bizarre behavior is one little girl named Dora died. The same kind of scenario. Something happened, caused CPR to need to be done, and Dora was not resolved. And she wrote a note in the chart, I remember seeing this, that said, "Dora, you are a legend in your own time." What? That's not a nurse's note you write. That is nothing appropriate. But that's what she wrote regarding Dora. And another time, on a baby that died, she took a syringe of saline water and made the sign of a cross on the child's chest. Now, some days she would come in on shifts that were not her own, like on day shift or night shift, and she would demand to see the babies and take care of them. But this is so bizarre. Everything I'm telling you, if you're a nurse or a physician, you're saying, this is so bizarre. Why didn't somebody notice this? Well, they did, and they complained. And we complained. Then we started noticing the drugs were missing. Things were taking place that were bizarre, even more bizarre, that could have been documented. Then the hospital realized they had a problem. There were too many babies dying. And they didn't know how to deal with it, they said. They couldn't accept what they were seeing. And there was one baby named Joshua Sawyer that in the manner in which he died, it was so obvious that it should have been related to Janine Jones, that there should never have been any deaths after Joshua Sawyer. However, they continued. The hospital decided that they needed to do an investigation. They called together a number of people in the upper echelon. They tried to figure out some plan. They had people that were supportive of Janine. They had people that were not supportive of Janine. But they decided that they would have a hospital, I would say probably the upper level of the management there, meeting together to figure out what in the heck is going on. The senior administrator was B.H. Corum, and his assistant was Associate Director John Guest. Then they had Marvin Dunn, who was one of the gentlemen that I went to meet with, who was the president of the Health Science Center. Dr. Robotham got involved in it. I mean, any number of doctors were involved. Dr. Howard Radwin, president of the hospital's medical dental staff. I know these names don't mean anything to you, but they should go down in history. But day after day after day, there were babies dying that should not have died. So they decided that they sent out a news release, and it was issued by Community Relations Officer Jeff Duffield. The hospital officially announced that in February, an evaluation will be conducted of services in the pediatric intensive care unit by Dr. Alan Kahn, a visiting professor at the University of Texas Health Science Center from Toronto. The story was, it must be the water. We'll bring Dr. Kahn down here. He'll do the evaluation, and we'll figure out what's going on. He was originally from Toronto Children's Hospital. But, of course, they found out there was insufficient evidence. However, that's not really, I must add, in my editorial opinion, what was known. So the deaths go on and on. I was there at the hospital at this time. Then I, later on, was offered a job elsewhere because I reported this. When I figured out that Janine Jones was the 3 to 11 nurse that was linked to most of those babies, And there's a list. I have a list of the babies that all died. I was going to count it up. Let me give you an accurate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 in one list, and approximately 60 in another list of babies that are suspect for having been killed by Janine Jones. I went to my director of my unit in patient care systems and told them, I believe it was Mr. White, I told him they're killing babies in the unit, and I believe Janine Jones is doing it. He told me you will be fired and you will be sued if you ever say that again. There was another doctor I told who was the physician in that unit, a one-star general, I believe he was one-star general, Spurgeon Neal, that I went to. Then I was transferred so that I would never see medical records again. We're talking about the case of Janine Jones, largest murder case in the state of history, or the state of Texas, in the history of Texas, and yet you don't hear anything about it. We were at the point where I had reported the fact that I believed it was Janine Jones that was killing these babies. I was told that I would be fired and sued if I ever said anything again. I was transferred to the education department, where I taught real important things like hand washing to the nurses. And at that point, I was given a position which required a job with a master's degree, which I did not have. But I was given the job anyway. The purpose was to move me away from patients, to move me away from medical records. I would never see a patient or a medical record again if I was teaching hand washing to nurses. And that was their goal, was to remove me. And I didn't realize it at the time. I mean, I thought, wow, I'm in the education department. I must be really good. Well, all this comes down to the point in March 2nd of 1982 when the hospital's top administrator for nursing, Virginia Mousseau, who I also had gone to tell what I thought, Virginia Mousseau called a meeting in the PDICU and told everybody how great they were there, how wonderful work they were doing, and that Dr. Kahn had been in to do a study in the unit, and they were going to, as a result of his recommendations, remove LVNs from the ICU because they needed to have an only RN staff. Well, the reason they were doing this was to be able to get Janine Jones out of the unit. They didn't want to fire her because part of the story that nobody knows about is that Janine Jones kept a little black book. This little black book is every resident that was doing that did something wrong, every fellow that did something wrong, every medical student that did something wrong, she would write it down. She also was writing down who was sleeping who, with whom, and all kinds of things that just would not be good press for the medical center. So once they knew that she was tracking all the mistakes that had been made, all of a sudden they just wanted to get rid of her and have her move on somewhere else. Now understand, we're talking about an LVN who had literally been involved in the killing of many babies. Now it got to the point where we even heard one time a statement, lock up the succinylcholine, Janine Jones is on tonight. I mean, it was that well known in the hospital. Lock up the succinylcholine, which nowadays, succinylcholine, which you give IV, is essentially curare that they have in Africa, which poison tip darts, it makes you totally unable to breathe. In other words, your brain is still working, you can't breathe. Well, succinylcholine was one of the drugs of choice. And she knew how to reverse succinylcholine. So many times she would reverse it and then get all kinds of accolades of, wow, you saved that baby's life. But too many times she didn't save their life and they died. So the number of how many people she must have done, how many babies, innocent babies that could not defend themselves that she did this on, we will never know. So anyway, Virginia Mousseau, the director of nursing then, M-O-U-S-S-E-A-U, Virginia Mousseau, held a meeting, told them how great they were, and said, oh, by the way, we're going to have to remove all of the LVNs from the ICU because we will find your jobs elsewhere or whatever. And they gave her a letter of recommendation. They gave her a standard letter of recommendation, and Nurse Pat Belko signed it, everybody knowing full well what was going on there. So the LVNs were moved out of the unit, and by March 13th of 1982, Janine, who had only three more shifts to work in the PDICU, did another baby. And that was the baby Dora I told you about. I don't want to go into all these stories. I gave you one. It's horrible. It's horrible, absolutely, what happened to these babies. Then, 2 days later on March 15th, Suzanne Maldonado, who was another nurse there that I knew, arrived for her 11 to 7 shift, and she had sort of figured out what was going on also. And there was a note in her box that said, or in her mailbox that said, "You are dead." And Susanna Maldonado showed that to Pat Belko. The head nurse took a pen, obliterated the message, and told her not to worry about it. Then, the next day, another note appeared in Susanna Maldonado's mailbox. And on a different kind of paper, someone had printed in block letters the word "soon." In other words, "You're dead soon." March 17th was the last day that Janine was in the unit. She picked up her paycheck. She said goodbye. She left the hospital. Then the hospital administrators congratulated themselves, and the publicity department spread the word about the medical center is going to newly recognize its facility for critically ill children. All is good now that Janine has left. But it wasn't good. A lot of this information comes from Deadly Medicine by Kelly Moore and Dan Reed, books written on the subject. If you can get that book, you will be absolutely on the edge of your seat all the time. You're going to hear so much more than what I can tell you about. But let me go back to the time, though, that they realized it was Janine Jones. They told Janine, basically, that she could no longer work in the ICU. And she said she didn't want to work anywhere else if she could not be in the PDICU. She was leaving.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made good for you. Food storage, I love to eat. Yum!
Hi,
It's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
A lot of this information comes from Deadly Medicine by Kelly Moore and Dan Reed, books written on the subject. If you can get that book, you will be absolutely on the edge of your seat all the time. You're going to hear so much more than what I can tell you about. But let me go back to the time, though, that they realized it was Janine Jones. They told Janine, basically, that she could no longer work in the ICU, and she said she didn't want to work anywhere else. If she could not be in the PDICU, she was leaving. So from the time that the first suspicions were raised, they started bringing the physicians that were in that unit, did the right thing, and started bringing the information to a doctor called Dr. Franks. He had ruled the problem a nursing administrative matter that could result in a libel suit if the hospital had unfounded accusations or insinuations. And that created a problem because they would not go forward to law enforcement. Janine Jones took her left the hospital March of 1982. She went to Kerrville, Texas, and we'll get into Kerrville, Texas. But let me just tell you that a year later, when San Antonio's medical examiner, Dr. Vincent DeMaio, was told that 122 patients had died in the medical center's PICU, Pediatric Intensive Care Unit, between 1979 and 1982, he called a press conference. Now, there's a lot more than I can tell you about the story on the air, but there was some involvement here. Medical examiner's office, the hospital, all kinds of things taking place at this time. But anyway, he did announce there were 122 patients that died at the medical center PICU from 79 to 82. Now, by regulation and law, you are supposed to notify the medical examiner's office if there is any suspicious death within the hospital. That was never done. They had not reported one of those 122 suspicious deaths. The county coroner had never been officially notified of the deaths of any of the babies. Jimmy Sawyer, Dora Rios, Carlos Olivares, Patrick Zavala. And DeMaio even said he thinks they considered themselves above the law. And the statement was even made, nobody seems to care about those little kids. You know, they're not even capable of complaining beyond a cry or a yelp. And everybody was worried about their job. I kid you not. I'm going to tell you some more situations in other facilities where people are more concerned about their job than they are the patients. But that's what happened here. Janine Jones moves on. And by the way, Janine Jones had been having an affair with a doctor in the hospital. And that doctor's name was Dr. Kathleen Holland, a female. Dr. Kathleen Holland and Janine were lesbians, were gay. It was fairly well known at the hospital with the staff. And Dr. Kathleen Holland decides to move to Kerrville, Texas, after she graduates, finishes her residency in San Antonio. So she decides to move to Kerrville, Texas, at the hospital there. When she takes on the position at the hospital there, she also has a clinic. Well, she's not really hired by the hospital. She has a clinic with admission privileges to the Kerrville Hospital. So Janine is now picked as her nurse. I kid you not. And I do not believe, honestly, I do not have any reason to believe, let me put it that way, that Dr. Kathleen Holland knew that Janine Jones was killing these babies. But we do know that the rumors were flying, and she should have been smart enough to have figured there must be something going on here. And by the way, at the same time, the hospital attorney, Mr. Green, refused to enforce law, to tell law enforcement what was happening. Refused to. A lot of the physicians got upset about this, and I do not know who went to law enforcement, if there was anybody. I don't know. I did not go to law enforcement at that time. I had gone to every step of the hospital I could figure out. In fact, I was office mate with a girl named Sherry Pendergraft. She was a master's degree nurse who was a neonatal intensive care unit nurse, as well as an educator. She was an instructor, and she was brilliant. She knew what was going on. And one day we were sitting in our offices, and she said to me, "I know Janine's killing those babies." And I said, "Well, Sherry, we've got to do something about it." Her husband was a resident there at the hospital, and we said, "We've got to do something." So we went to every level of the hospital to tell them what was going on. And I can remember when we went to the dean of the medical school, she was called in first, and she came out screaming and crying that she was given 3 days suspension and was going to ruin her record because she had said this, when in reality she was telling the truth. So we went everywhere that we possibly could with no positive result. So the people that I've named their names are complicit in all of this, including, I believe, the hospital attorney who refused to go to law enforcement but told everybody he had already gone to law enforcement and therefore he was taking care of the problem. So now she goes, Janine Jones is at Kerrville Hospital, and all of a sudden, in this sleepy little beautiful town of Kerrville, Texas, there were probably, I have to say, I believe, and now this is the point where I have lost count, but I believe there were 7 babies that crashed in the first 2 weeks that clinic was open. 7 babies that crashed. And I'm talking about not able to breathe, heart stopping, that kind of thing. And remember, Janine Jones was the office nurse for Dr. Kathleen Holland. And these children, when they came in for vaccines were given succinylcholine many times. Many times she was able to save them. And then comes a baby that was a tragedy, a horrible, horrible tragedy. Chelsea McClelland. Chelsea McClelland had gone in for her vaccine. And when she was given the shot, she went limp. The mother was just panicked. And as I recall, she had also had a little boy that had been killed by a car earlier. And so she had this one daughter left. And she could have no more children. So she was watching her child go limp. And Janine Jones says, "I'll take care of everything," and gives her something else. And the baby does not respond. So they take the baby in the ambulance to try and get the baby to San Antonio. And guess who is in the ambulance with the baby? So they stop by the side of the road. And I don't recall whether the child died at the side of the road. I do not believe that the child made it to the hospital. There are so many people complicit in this that I cannot tell you. To think that there could be 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 people that knew about this is beyond what we want to think that can happen in a hospital system. But unfortunately, it does. By the way, the medical center hospital, as you all know, that live in San Antonio, it's a complex in the northwest part of San Antonio. The name has now been changed to Medical Center Hospital. Medical Center Hospital. So now there is a convening of a grand jury. Now, at this point, I had moved on and had been given a director of nursing at a hospital away from the medical center. So I was out of the medical center, director of nursing, thinking I just frustrated myself. I could not find anyone to listen to me. They told me I was the crazy one. And so one day I'm listening to the news, and I hear on Channel 5 in Houston, in San Antonio, announced, ladies and gentlemen, breaking news, the largest murder case in Bexar County history. Grand jury is convened. Janine Jones has been indicted by the grand jury for murder. And I fell to my knees and I began to cry because I knew I had not done enough. And that is the purpose of what I'm telling you here today, not to drag the story out to you, but to tell you I had not done enough. I was a 27-year-old nurse at the time who did not know what really should be done. I didn't know that I should have gone to law enforcement. I trusted the fact that if you go to the Virginia Musso, the director of nursing, or if you go to the head of the dean of the school, they're going to listen to you. And they'll care. And they'll do the next right and honorable thing. Oh, no. So at that point, the grand jury had convened, and they were looking at death of one child and injury to another. That was the last week of 1983, the last week of January 1983, when the grand jury began hearing the testimony regarding what is now known as the baby death case. Dr. Kathleen Holland, as I understand, lost her license to practice medicine. That's the best information that I have. But she was not held liable. Janine Jones was the one that was. And the people involved in this, B.H. Corum, Marvin Dunn, Virginia Musso, Pat Belko, Judy Harris, all names of people that were involved, were kind of like innocent, nice people that got caught up in this and didn't say anything when they should have. It's not just a handful of people that knew what was happening there. So the grand jury convenes. I did go to the trial of Janine Jones, and it was grueling to listen to these stories. But there were only injury of a child and death of a child that were addressed during that trial. They said they didn't have enough evidence to go with the other cases, which unfortunately I know is not accurate information. But to make a long story into the bottom line of this, Janine Jones was found guilty of murder of one child and injury to another and sentenced to 99 years in Gatesville Prison. She is still in prison, but she is up for parole in 2017. That is, unless we can resurrect some of the cold case files against her of these other babies. Remember, there's no statute of limitations on death, on murder. And so there may be the potential of some cold cases. I have been contacted by some other people that are interested in pursuing this. And perhaps with all the information that we all have together, it might happen. Succinylcholine was one of the lead drugs that she used in killing these children. And like I said, your brain is okay, but your respiratory system shuts down. Now, the question is, why did Janine do this? So we go to motive. It has been said, a number of things have been said. Retaliation, that she had an ego, that she was a Munchausen's by proxy. Which Munchausen's means that you want to get attention for being sick and you're really not sick. And you like to have them do procedures on you. Some people have called Janine Jones Munchausen's by proxy. That she liked to see people, other people sick and hurt them and then make them well again and then get credit She had the biggest ego of any nurse that I have ever seen. And I call it a fractured ego from knowing her. A fractured ego. That if she were to, do something for a baby, she wanted attention. Like, let's say she could get a central line in. And she was not supposed to be doing central lines. Those are for physicians. Physicians do central lines. But they would let her do all kinds of things. Or arterial line. I'm sorry, not a central line, an arterial line. And they let her do all kinds of things. She had the reputation, quote-unquote, of being able to put an IV into a freaking fly. That's what everybody said and the doctor said. So they gave her too much credit. But if somebody said, Janine, why did you do that? Or Janine, you shouldn't have done that. She would have this horrible attack of ego to where she would then go and crash a baby. She would crash a baby in retaliation for somebody talking bad about her so that she could then get credit and kudos. Wow, Janine, you were awesome in the way you saved that baby. And she loved to have that kind of attention. So she would take a baby's life or risk a baby's life. Now remember, there were 122 questionable deaths at that hospital. My information is, and I will tell you this, I did become the nurse investigator on that case with attorney Tom Stolhansky for the plaintiff cases. I was hired to go in and review all the hospital documents, all the existing documents on that case, which I did it for, I believe, over a year. Everything I could get my hands on with that case. And we found that there were many, many more deaths than the one that she was convicted of and the injury to a child. One example is a doctor was came in and saw a baby that was bleeding out. He said from over 200 places in its body, bleeding out of its skin, bleeding out of its nose, its mouth, bleeding out of every orifice of that child's body. And there is a diagnosis of DIC. It's given to babies that just bleed out. And so they thought it was just a case of DIC that they were seeing, where you don't coagulate, the baby doesn't coagulate. This doctor realized something is wrong here. This is not DIC. Somebody has done this. I'm kind of trying to cleanse my conscience and let you know that there is a time when we must do something. And if we don't, we forever pass that ability to right something that is wrong. And I often wonder if I had done what I now know I should have done, gone to the law enforcement people or the police department or whomever, the FBI, about what was happening there, could I have saved some of those babies' deaths? I will forever wonder that. Now, Renee said, kudos for you for telling the story, and that's the highest form of using our experience for life. Yes, but I find no pride in this. I guarantee you. I find no pride in having to tell you this story. I should have done more. Let me just tell you that there was one little boy that was talked about in trial. That was the injury to a child case in which this little boy started bleeding out 200 places in his body. The doctor came in, immediately saw it, and thought it was DIC, disseminated intravascular coagulopathy. And when they realized it wasn't that, he thought, oh my goodness, who's the nurse? Janine Jones. Oh no, they knew something was going on. So he decided that he was going to give a drug to this child that if it was not heparin that had been given to the child by Janine, and heparin was one of her drugs that she used, heparin, which of course makes thins the blood and makes you hemorrhage, there is an antidote for heparin. But if you give this antidote and heparin has not been used, you will kill the child. So I can remember him talking about the fear that he had that, oh my God, I have one choice here. I think it's Janine. I think she killed this baby or tried to kill this baby. I think it's heparin. So he decided to use a drug called protamine sulfate, which, believe it or not, is derived from purified fish sperm. It's an antidote for heparin, and heparin is this blood thinner. So he decided that he would give this heparin, I mean this protamine zinc. He gave an entire vial of it. The bleeding did not stop, and it should have stopped immediately. Then he knew, I've already gone this far. I'm either going to kill the child or save the child. So he gave another bottle of protamine zinc, an entire bottle of protamine zinc, two bottles of it. And all of a sudden, the baby stopped bleeding. He knew then that Janine had given heparin, an overdose of heparin, to this baby. But did that stop things in the hospital? No. As a result, I firmly believe that there are at least 60 babies, 60 babies from my research at the hospital, that died as a result of Janine Jones. There's more we could talk about. Dr. Holland went on to do her own thing somewhere else. Janine Jones is in prison. And I dedicate this to the baby, Chelsea McClellan, the last one that Janine killed. Chelsea McClellan was a beautiful young baby, a beautiful child. I mean, all babies are beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But this little girl left a legacy, which is how I became involved with the attorney that believed me on some other whistleblowing events, because he was the only one that would take that case. Petty McClellan is the mother of that beautiful child, and Petty McClellan lives today knowing that someone killed her baby. So the bottom line of this story is to tell you, don't ever stop. Whistleblow in the name of truth. Do not give up. Do not let anybody tell you you're a trouble causer. How dare you? You're making problems for us. You go in this world alone and go out of this world alone. We must do what is right for each of us. Well, I'm talking about Janine Jones, the baby killer. And that's what she's known in prison as, the baby killer. I talked to the warden and she said she makes babies all day long. Out of rags, out of anything she can find, she makes babies. I want to correct one thing that I said, and that is on the number of events that occurred at Sid Peterson Hospital in Kerrville, there were four cardiac arrests or respiratory arrests that Janine apparently contributed to in the space of 4 weeks. Four in 4 weeks. And in the past 10 years, prior to that time, there had never been a respiratory arrest in a doctor's office. And then they had four in 4 weeks inside a doctor's office, which was why they began to realize it was Janine. Sid Peterson Hospital is responsible for the bringing of Janine Jones to justice. The hospital in San Antonio, by the way, gave her a good referral. One day I was in there talking to the director of nursing after all this had taken place, and she said, I've got to take this call from the prison at Gatesville. I happened to be there at the time. This is so bizarre. And there was a new director of nursing. It was not Virginia Musso at the time. And it was the prison at Gatesville. She had her on the speakerphone, and she says, we're calling from Gatesville Prison. We'd like to get a recommendation for a Miss Janine Jones to work in the infirmary of Gatesville Prison. And Nora, the lady who was a director of nursing, said, do you know who this woman is? And I think that's all she said to her. She was wanting to work in the infirmary again, in the medical complex. Can you imagine that? And by the way, on Chelsea McClellan, let me just tell you the note that Janine Jones wrote in the chart at the time of the death of Chelsea McClellan. CPR discontinued. Parents informed of death by Dr. Holland. Baby transported from Comfort, that was the city where they were at the time, to Sid Peterson Hospital by EMS and myself, and taken to the morgue. I would have given my life for her. Goodbye, Chelsea. Now, that's the kind of bizarre notes that were written in charts that we began to see, and we were screaming from the rooftops, this is not normal for a nurse to do this. One time, there was one of the babies that had died at the hospital in San Antonio at Bexar County Hospital, now Medical Center Hospital. They changed the name, by the way, because of the bad press they got from Janine Jones. And Janine wanted to carry the baby down to the morgue. That's not
Well, you know, that's not that abnormal because many times a nurse will take a baby, especially a very small baby, down to the morgue. She took the baby down to the morgue, and then she was found in there sitting with the baby doing some kind of seance. These things, only one of those events should have happened. And how many people to this day know and have forgotten what happened at Bexar County Hospital? And that is what is so sad, ladies and gentlemen. People have moved on. They let Virginia Mousseau go, or basically told them they needed to go find a job elsewhere, along with the higher-ups that had, which they knew had covered it up. There's so much more I could talk about in the cover-up of this, but the story is what is important. And again, I say, I feel the blood on my hands for not having done enough. I can't even conceive at that time in my life of going to law enforcement because I believed so much in the system, which is why we have the events taking place, whether it's the stealing of all the money out of our treasury and giving it away, making it look like, oh, we're trying to help these people, or whether it's events that happen in hospitals. And I could tell you, I did over 1,000 medical reviews of medical malpractice cases, 600 depositions. You know, after you're in court 600 times and they pin you to the wall, you better know what you're saying. You better do it right. And yet online, there's all kinds of people saying, I'm making all of this up. You have got to be kidding me. But that's what they do to try and make the messenger look bad.
Everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us.